Nick Frost has a small part in the movie. Oh, it's recording. Look at that.
Hey, this is James from survivalpunk.com.
And if I could figure out my earbuds, this is Couch Potato Mike from nowhere at the moment. I am currently off of Facebook, and I have no volume.
It's recording.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Yes, in case this sounds weird, we've been having technical... What the fuck is happening now?
Difficulties. I'm trying to open a window to type up some show notes. It's whatever. As Gorilla Podcast, we're trying to get an episode out.
Yep.
That's what's important here.
Yeah. Do we really need the show notes right now?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm holding paper notes.
Yeah.
You can always type these in later.
Yeah. I'm not going to type all that. But
Not all that. I mean, just the general gist of it, because I, for once, am taking control of this show.
Couch Potato Mike came up with the show topic, and the show topic is...
Survival while traveling and traveling tips and things of that nature that I haven't managed to streamline down into something succinct yet.
Yes.
Yeah, basically, it's that time of year. We're getting toward the months where everybody's going hither and yon, seeing new sights, experiencing new experiences, flying in airports, driving cross-country, flying around the world and all that good shit. You know, just to see some shit that, you know, wouldn't normally be happening during the rest of the week or year when you're stuck at your cubicle pondering how long would it be before they found your body hanging lifeless in the restroom.
Yes. So we're going to run with that. We have other show topics. It should not be a fucking huge gap again. There were issues. There was a lot of issues that came up. My internet went down, the blah, blah, blah. Anyway, there's going to be an episode, and we don't even have the board. It was so hard trying to get the fucking Audacity to record this episode.
Yeah, that it just, the second it started recording, we're like, fuck it, flying into this.
Yeah.
There was no second take. We were scared to shut it down.
Exactly. So if you want to write an email to the show, you may do so at james@survivalpunk.com.
Yep. You can do that.
You can call me and leave a voicemail at, the show line. Yeah, I can't remember the number right now.
Son of a bitch.
It's definitely 615.
Listen to a previous episode and get the show number. Hold on, he's pulling it up on his phone. Maybe he's not. I don't know what's happening. It's a crazy day.
It is a crazy day.
Oh no, he's out of his... Why does this thing keep dinging in my ear?
Is it still?
It went bring.
Oh, is it?
No, it only did it once.
Oh, I was changing the volume.
Oh, he went and got the board of legend. Oh yeah, he's got the board there with all of our stuff written down on it.
So the number is 615-657-9104. Again, 615-657-9 all together now.
9104. Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're awesome at our jobs.
All together now. Oh, fuck.
All right. So how have you been, sir? Other than all the crap you just said.
Yeah, not bad. It's been a hectic couple weeks. Well, we'll continue. Life is hectic. It will continue to be hectic.
Yep.
And when it's not hectic, you're probably dead. So gay for hectic.
Yeah.
Hectinosity.
Yeah, the people that have the easiest lives don't have one.
Yeah.
So now, in me, I've got an ever-expanding Funko Pop collection.
Yeah?
Yeah, I collect Funko Pops. I don't think I've ever said that on the show.
I don't know.
But I've got, like, almost every single Doctor Who Funko Pop that they've ever made.
Yeah.
I've got all four of the Golden Girls. Yeah, I used to love that show. I still love it. I actually got a bunch of episodes on a thumb drive somewhere. Let me see. I've collected the Bob Ross Pops. I've got all of them except the fuzzy flocked one. And
you just started Deadpool, and Deadpool 2 was a pretty good movie, by the way.
Yeah, and I've just started collecting Deadpool Pops. And just to boot, there's this character named Gwenpool. I also got hers because she looks a lot like Deadpool. The basic design is based off of Deadpool. It's this whole weird comic book thing. But she had, like, they released two Pops for her, a regular and then a Toys R Us exclusive. And I just got the Toys R Us exclusive yesterday.
Yeah.
The regular has her with one hand on her hip and the other hand holding a katana sword. The exclusive has her holding a gun in one hand and a cell phone in the other. And it's important that I got that Toys R Us exclusive because it might be one of the last Toys R Us exclusive pops that ever exist, as Toys R Us is going out of business and liquidating all of their assets. So 700 and some odd stores in the country are now all having going out of business sales if they haven't shut their doors already.
Wow.
Yeah, so everything at Toys R Us is currently 40 to 60% off. So if you have a Toys R Us in your area that you never went to because everything's too expensive, it's not as expensive anymore. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's like the busiest they've been in a long time, and it's because they're going out of business, and everything's been marked down to reasonable prices for the first time ever.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's their problem. Everything was fucking expensive. They weren't very conveniently located, and, well, the internet.
The internet.
You can get anything on the internet now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the likes of Amazon and eBay and all that good shit is basically driving a lot of the brick-and-mortar stores out of business, and Toys R Us is just the next in a long line of things that are going to shut down. Basically, the whole world is just going to be the internet at some point.
You mean like Ready Player One's Oasis?
Exactly.
There were VR brick-and-mortar businesses in that world.
VR brick-and-mortar.
You had to buy virtual real estate.
Well, it's funny because that one suit he bought it in that world. It was like real-world pickup option.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he actually got his, like, fucking Senso suit where he could feel her, like, rubbing all over him and shit.
Yeah.
That was a really good movie.
It was.
I do got to get to the audiobook, though.
I need to give it to you.
Oh, and I've actually bought a surprise pop yesterday that you would actually like. And I'm going to get to show you after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not into the Funko Pops I am.
No.
But for some reason, my obsession, you know, I make everybody look at it because, you know, fuck it, I can do that.
So today's show is about travel survival, right? Yes,
travel survival. And I've got it basically on three different levels. You see, when James gets notes, he does everything like digitally, on the internet, on files. I do go, and I got some of this stuff from the internet, but I printed it all off, so I've actually got things in my hand. So what I'm going to do is, oh my God, you had to put the board there, now Nimbus is all over it. Fall, you cat. Yeah, he's got a new baby named Nimbus. Yeah, Jordan's got a little friend now.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Nimbus is about to lunge at that insect. Wait, come on, do it. Ah, oh, you pussy. Anyway. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, basically it came up with the idea, you know, because it's this time of year, people are traveling, and I think there should be some good tips. Now, first off, I want to start with some basic things that everybody needs to know. These can pretty much apply to a lot of people. And it's for people that find themselves kind of stranded out in certain places. Now, here's just some notes. Know how to find clean water. Now, that is a very important thing to do.
Yes. Like, we did an episode on it once, but it was so boring, we both hated it.
Right. Like, so this is basically, let's see, if you're stuck in a jam and forced to look for fresh water, Hein? Who the hell's Hein?
Whatever you copied this from.
Okay, whatever. They suggest that searching for light green areas by surveying foliage from higher up or searching where harder rock meets softer rock. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Criticize survival guides that suggest people in the desert climb attempt to dig a hole to find water as it can be energy draining.
Yeah. That used to be – that's one of those examples of like survival knowledge – survival, air quotes, by the way, if you can't see, because I know you can't see. It was like everywhere forever. And then like when survival really started blowing up, people were like, yeah, don't do that. That's bullshit. Like, yeah, technically, if you dig a giant hole in the desert and like put a cup in the bottom and cover it with a tarp and put a rock, a tiny little pebble in the middle of the tarp so that it drops down, you can get water. But you've probably died from dehydration, from digging the hole to get your thimble full of water per day.
Matter of fact, the next line is survival in any form is all about energy expenditure. You're actually burning off more energy digging a bloody hole.
Yeah. A couple things I want to add about clean water. If it's traveling, vacation, or whatever, you probably have your car. One, sometimes I like to keep a case of water in my car because why not?
Idea.
A survival straw, one of those filter straws, is a great thing.
Yeah. Purifying tablets.
A metal container. I like the metal, like, nesting Nalgene cups, a metal canteen, a metal,
something that you can boil in.
Exactly. And one note I want to add about that. If you're on the side of the road and you're trying to find water, if it's chemically contained, boiling will not help. In fact, it will concentrate the chemicals in it.
Really?
Yeah, because it's going to boil off the water and leave the chemicals behind, thus making it even more toxic.
Yeah, that's basically...
Hello, wife! Hello. I love you.
Yes, that was James's wife.
Yes.
and so, that's what I call her now.
Yeah.
Fuck you for having a name that ends with an S. It just makes the whole fucking flow go off.
Yeah.
All right, so let me see. Pay attention to your surroundings. It may seem like obvious advice, but when hikers are getting into the zen of their environment and having a Henry David Thoreau moment, whoever the fuck that is.
Henry David Thoreau?
Yeah, whatever. It can be easy to make costly mistake in terms of navigation or such a misstep. They recommend looking both forward and back as you walk to keep aware of what you're around and to note any helpful landmarks.
Yes. We've covered sort of situational awareness a million bazillion times.
Yeah.
A new pet peeve that I've developed or is grown into like really pet peeve levels are people when they're shopping in grocery stores with two headphones in and the volume all the way up. You literally have no idea what's going on around you.
What?
Exactly.
I do that a lot.
Yeah, I'm iffy about being in public with two headphones on. Like, I'll like, sometimes I'll leave one headphone out so I can still sort of hear peripherally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you've got two headphones in and they're good headphones, earbuds, and they're jammed up real high and you're listening to like some nice like punk music, death metal or something, and someone comes in shooting the place up, you're probably going to be dead. I mean, you have no idea what's going on. Some of those like heavy guitar riffs sound like gunfire anyway. You're like, oh man, this is super realistic sounding music. Bam, I'm dead.
Yeah, and if you're listening to rap or anything, there's probably gunshots going on in the music anyway.
Exactly.
So it'll fuck with you. I just realized this whole section I think is for hikers.
Yeah.
It's been a week since I've actually copied this stuff off. But the next one, prepared to get lost.
All this stuff applies as well.
Yeah.
I mean, with GPS now, it's, hold on, GPS is a double-edged blade. Yeah, it gets you to places you never could before, like, before giving directions to people, like, turn left at the old burned-down house and go past the bridge. Yeah, you'll get fucked up sometimes. See the bridge, Mike? Oh, there's the country store!
Oh my god.
A lot of these things you reoccur and see a million times over. GPS, though, on our phones, get us there the majority of the time. That Nimbus is on a fucking rampage, like he usually is.
This cat is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just all over everything, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, GPS usually gets us there. But at the same time, when you, like I am horrible with directions, but I rely solely on GPS. My flaw, got to work on that. You have no idea where you're going without GPS.
Yeah.
I was meeting my wife, Serenity's mom, somewhere, and she was like, well, we're on Highway 96. Which way do we go? And I'm like, I don't know. The GPS, I literally have no, like, I do not even know the roads I'm on. I just look at the GPS, turn here. Gotcha, bro. I'm turning.
Yeah, see, now, that all goes back to something I've been saying for years. No six ways to get everywhere. Basically, if you know you're going to be going someplace, learn six different ways to get there, alternate routes, stuff like that. I mean, by just familiarizing yourself with all these routes to get to one place, you're going to – I mean, stuff will sink in. You're going to know a hell of a lot more about the entire geography of that area doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and if you – I mean, I've used that method, and basically I found – I've been stuck and had to learn a seventh way on the fly, and because of the six previous ways, I'm all like, okay, well, common sense says that this road has a good chance of intersecting there, so I'll just go that way.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago when I was having my horrible car problems where it was dying,
yeah.
My car died like about 15, 10 minutes from like the city square. Like basically my car died, and about 20 minutes later, I finally got to restart. So I was hauling ass trying to get home. I'm like, I just want to get as close as I can, as fast as I can. And I come across, and the thing is, like, if I drop the RPMs, the car would die sometimes. So I was trying to maintain a high RPM the whole time around these country curvy roads. I come up to a wreck. The police have blocked the only way I know to get home. Right there on that big curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to go a way I had never gone before and just try to wing it home while at the same time thinking I'm going ways I've never gone before with a car that may die at any second.
Yeah, that's... Fuck. Oh, God.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
Oh, yeah. No, that can be. That can totally be fucked up. Now, I've decided I'm not really going to read the meat of these anymore. I'm just going to read the headlines because we're doing better spitballing than what these people
are saying. Yeah, we just need the tight headlines.
Be familiar with the basics of first aid.
I think we've both said multiple times, especially me, because it's my favorite word, it behooves you to know first aid.
Yeah, it really does.
We've done multiple episodes on it.
Yeah, so we're not going to spend any more time. Go back and listen to one of them. Know how to call for help.
Yeah, there are multiple ways. Did we not do an episode on signaling or something, or at least dive deep into it maybe?
I mean, I don't think we did a whole episode on
signaling. I may have done a solo episode on it.
You may have done that, but yeah.
Yeah, besides your cell phone.
Exactly, yeah.
Flare guns, how to do – so there's a – yeah, I definitely talked into it. Yeah, definitely have ways to call for help.
And I will play the Titanic card when it comes to the whistle. Kate could not, her voice was completely gone, the fucking people were going by, but she found a whistle hanging out of a dead dude's mouth.
Yeah.
Which is just a fucking image in itself right there.
Yeah, and there are multiple ways to make a survival whistle, you know, in an emergency, like with tin cans, with blades of grass. So, knowing some of those is a good idea as well.
Oh yeah. And my favorite one on the list, carry two methods for fire.
Yeah.
I am a huge advocate of knowing as many ways to fucking make a fire as humanly possible. Fire is the lifeblood of life, for God's sakes. It's how you cook. It's how you boil. It's how you stay fucking warm.
Right.
It's how you can signal. It is so fucking useful. Without fire, we would still be dumb apes.
Yeah. I have, for years, carry a Bic on my lighter at all, or a Bic on my keychain at all times.
I'll bet you do.
Serenity got me this little holder that lets you put a lighter onto your keychain.
Yeah, it's like, what is that, a silicone thing or whatever?
It's just a little like rubber silicone thing.
It's like a rubber sleeve that you can shove a Bic lighter into and it grips the fuck out of it.
Before that, I made my own. I'd get mini Bics and I would just cover them with paracord and put tape around them and it, you know, it works.
Yeah, same thing. And she got you, you know, a lot more practice.
Yeah, permanent one. I'll try to remember to put links in the show notes for where you can buy both of those. Where you can read how to make one or buy one.
Now, this next section is specifically about traveling, okay, that I've got here. And let's see. It says, the first one is, do your research. Plan alternative trips and traffic if traffic makes your way home too overwhelming. That's what I talk about, knowing six ways to get anywhere. If there's a scenic drive that might be longer but have less traffic, break up a long drive by finding a few places to stop that will get kids more excited than a truck rest stop. When flying, make sure to check airline restrictions ahead of time on carry-on luggage and fees for checked bags. And it's actually talking about more about travel.
Okay.
Yeah, like stay connected. Stock up on the latest travel apps before you leave the house. These are all just travel tips. This is less survival than just traveling tips. Let's see. Telling you to pack light a lot of this stuff. Let's see. Don't get hangry. That's an important one.
Yeah.
Pack earplugs. I haven't actually read through most of these. Travel on... Okay. I'm all over the place now. I'm starting to feel like I'm doing a 9/11 podcast.
You're all crazy.
No, I think the word I used was wackadoodle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Stay connected. Stock up on travel apps before you leave home. Gate Guru gives you approximate times you'll have to spend in security. Heading out on the road, find the cheapest gas, cleanest bathrooms on the road with Gas Buddy and Sitter Squat.
Yeah. I have before found a... That cat is going batshit crazy. I don't know what he's doing.
He's trying to find everything.
Anyway, I've found maps before and planned my trips around rest stops. Like, you can't always, you know, plan on there being a rest stop. But if you plan ahead, you know, the rest stops are. I've taken vacations by just staying at rest stops. Like, I just would drive back to the rest stop and go to sleep at the end of the day.
Yeah, they don't mind. I mean, that's what they're there for.
That's what they're there for.
To rest. It says to pack light here, avoid checking bags altogether if you can. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. at airports, you could have a carry-on or you can check bags.
Right.
And checking bags costs money depending on the airline. Well, actually, most airlines charge for that now. Yeah, you know, that's the part where they stick them onto the plane, which has its own set of fucking problems because they can lose your fucking luggage that way.
Right. I like to stick with having a nice pack.
Now, what is that? What's the name of that dude? Had his own show on Netflix called Hacking the System.
Brian
Fantana?
Something. Brian.
Whatever.
Brushwood. Brian Brushwood.
Brian Brushwood, yeah. Now, he did an episode on that about, like, of hacking packing.
Right.
Where basically, you can fit all the stuff that you would normally fit in a suitcase into a smaller carry-on. And this, and just this fucking wild way of like rolling clothes and all this stuff. There's ways that you can fit a lot more into a lot smaller area if you just forego the folding.
Right.
And guess what? A lot of hotels will have an iron in them. That cat's gonna burn your house down. I'll keep going. You deal with that. Now, yeah, so, I mean, if you could avoid checking bags altogether, that sidesteps a hell of a lot of potential problems. Now, it says here to pack earplugs. Now, short of doing yoga in the air...
Are we back?
Oh, it looks like we're back. We're recording again.
Where were we at?
Okay. Let's see, where the hell was
I? I could edit this out, but I like to be transparent. Our microphone just stopped working. I don't know. It just sat there, so we had to fool around and, poop and nuggets, my friends. Poop and nuggets.
All right, yeah. Now, I was talking about, because a lot of times when you're traveling, people travel for the holidays and they want to bring gifts with them, especially if it's Christmas time. And TSA recommends that you don't wrap the gifts, wrap them after you land in case you have to unwrap them for an inspection, or better yet, ship them ahead of time or buy gift cards, like from Amazon or whatever their favorite store is. That way you can avoid sending gifts, the whole gift thing altogether. But that's neither here nor there. Now, another tip they have here is travel on off-peak days. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving is the biggest travel day of the year and can also cause the biggest meltdown of the year. A better option is to leave early on Thanksgiving Day and avoid the record traffic that leave early on Thanksgiving Day and avoid the record traffic the night before. Same goes with flying. If you fly on the actual holiday itself, you'll be avoiding the long lines and hordes of travelers and missing half the fucking holiday. That doesn't make a goddamn bit of sense.
Yeah, I don't really... Ugh.
Yeah, fuck that one. I mean, I would say leaving a few days earlier and spending some extra time, maybe. Yeah. Unless you really hate them, then just don't fucking go. All right, travel early or late in the day. Flight statistics show that planes traveling earlier in the day have a better on-time performance. If your flight is canceled, you'll have the option of taking a flight later in the day. Also, there are fewer lines at security. Best time to hit the road? When everyone else is asleep, early morning or late at night. You could always take a nap when you arrive at your destination or on the ride there if you aren't the driver, of course. Yeah, that one I strongly advocate.
Yeah.
Now, me and Andrea and, we will set an alarm and get up at 3 a.m. if we really need the sleep. Hell, I've left for 12-hour drive before, like, straight after work. I damn near killed myself. Ugh. But we got through, I mean, aside from the little rush hour at the beginning, smooth sailing all the rest of the way.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I like to travel at off-peak times and odd times to get, when I was on overnights, when me and Serenity went to Myrtle Beach, I picked her up at, like, 9 at night, and we drove all night long, and it got kind of brutal, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, but it can so grate on your fucking nerves, your patience and everything else, your good demeanor, sitting in a fucking traffic jam. Yeah. It really can. Let's see. Plan for the unexpected. Have only a half hour before connecting to another flight, traveling to Rochester, New York during snow season, think ahead and plan accordingly. Leave extra time for flights to deal with security, extra time between connections, and for road trips, pack tire chains for snowy conditions, flashlights, and of course a few bandages never hurt either.
Yeah.
Those, okay, that's good advice right there. And the last one on this particular section is inhale, exhale. The overly friendly person next to you on the plane, the canceled flights, the luggage that fell off in the middle of the highway, all of it will make for great stories over dinner when you finally make it to your destination. After all, holiday travel stress is just as much of the tradition as the pumpkin pie and regifting. Yeah. Just breathe. Take a deep breath. It'll all be something funny later on.
Yeah.
I have laughed at so many bullshit things that have happened to me over the years. Oh, you know, one fucking thing I accidentally skipped on the first list. Don't let your inner hunter-gatherer run wild. After some experience as a boy or girl scout or binge-watching a marathon or survival shows, might be tempting to try to harvest edible berries and plants along the trail. Barring any true expertise, this can be a fatal error. Unless you know for sure what it is you're ingesting, leave it alone.
I'm going to call out the person that wrote that article as a willy-nilly bitch. Get yourself a good book on wild edibles. Learn the wild edibles in your area and give it a try.
You know what? Re-looking back through this last section I have, which is the longest by far, and frankly, it covers a lot of weird little things. Here, I'm just going to read off some of these things. Lost luggage, lost credit card, lost passport, lost child, lost in the woods, lost in the city, emergency contraception in a Catholic country.
What the fuck?
Stranded at an airport overnight, stranded at an airport during the day. Over 30 and stuck in a youth hostel.
go back. I want to talk about... So, let's go with lost members of your party.
Okay.
So, and Mike can attest to this when he was at Disney and one of his kids got lost. Ahead of time...
Technically, it was Universal, but whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. If you're in a group like that, it would be good. It would probably behoove you to have a rendezvous point. If you get lost, meet us here. Go to this point, stay here. If we can't find you, we'll go to that point looking for you.
And I am going to have to say that didn't work.
No?
We had a rendezvous point and we missed each other at it.
Go and stay. That was the point. If you go to the rendezvous point and they're not there and you turn around and leave, and then they show up and you're not there and they turn around and leave, that's where the disconnect is.
Well, what had happened? We were about to get on, we were at Universal Florida and we were about to get on, the Dudley Do Right Ripsaw Falls. My son Tony still had a map in his hand, which I knew was going to get drenched, and he wanted to keep the map. So, my wife was not going to get on this particular ride. She had no interest in it, so she was going to go take pictures of us coming down the falls.
Right.
So but she walks off into the crowd. I know where she's going. She's going over to this bridge where the actual ride goes under it. I'm like, Tony, you still got the map. You wanted to keep it, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, it's going to get wet on these falls. He's like, oh. Because God bless my son, he has no common sense.
Right.
So I'm like, go run the map. I could still see Andrea. She was still walking away. I'm like, run this to her real quick. So he takes off walking at a very slow pace, looking at everything. I'm like, run it to her. Because we're standing waiting to get in this line.
Right.
So he takes off running. And then, you know, we wait. I mean, he should be at her in 15 seconds. We wait. 5 minutes goes by. He never came back. So I'm like, maybe she's making him stay with her because he had been a little... Okay, I need to preface this real quick. This was at the beginning of our relationship. I had known that my son existed for less than 6 months at this point. I had just gotten custody of him. We were still in the midst of our growing pains, okay? We were trying to mesh as a family. And he had a hell of a lot of attitude problems at the beginning of this. So.
He's your son.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. Now, so he had a hell of a lot of attitude problems, and we weren't really clicking. So we wait like 5 minutes, and then at this point, okay, what happened to him? Maybe he smarted off to her, and maybe she sat his ass down next to her and waited. So I decide, all right, that's it. I take take the two kids that are with me, and we go back to – I'm like, I just got to make sure. So I go back, and I find her. he's not with her. He never got to her, period. So I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. This is like, yeah, because, I mean, the first thing that happens, I'm like, that's stuff that always happens to other people. It's happening to me right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, maybe he finally made it back up to the ride entrance. So we go back up there. He's nowhere around. Okay, now I've left the other. Now, at this point, Andrea comes and finds me. I leave the kids with her, and now I'm in panic search mode. I am scanning. Thank God I'm a relatively tall person and can look over most people.
Right.
But I'm scanning. I'm looking. I'm asking park employees. I spent about 20 minutes walking around with a guy dressed like a Mountie.
Oh, that's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. All looking for this. And finally, when we get back up to the entrance to the ride, he's there. What had happened is, during that brief period of time where we had gone back to find her, he had come back to the front of the ride, assumed that we went in it without him,
right,
and goes in, and manages to get all the way to the front of the line, skipping ahead of people, saying, I'm looking for my dad.
Clever.
Yeah, trying to get all the way to the front of the line, never finds us. So now he is completely fucking panicked.
Yeah.
We are completely fucking panicked. And despite the fact that we've had a hella week with this kid so far, to the point where I'm like, I'd been saying earlier in the day, you know what, that's it. When we get home, I'm putting him in his room. I don't even want to look at him for 3 days. Nah, as soon as we saw each other, we basically had a very tear-filled hug because I thought I'd lost him. He thought he'd lost us. And it was just, you know, fucking shit. So, yeah, if the whole rendezvous point thing had been executed properly, all of that could have been avoided.
Yeah.
One good thing came out of it, though. This Mountie took us straight to the front of the line. Well, he's like, you guys still want to ride? Go ahead. Go straight to the front of the line.
Nice.
Yep. Now, where the hell? Okay. Now, let's see. Let's read some of these other stupid ones in here. Where was I? I was like, over 30 and stuck in a youth hostel. Embrace your wizened old sage's side. Oh, my God. Let's see. Under 65 and stuck on a jazz cruise.
What the fuck?
Rental car accident. Market crash. Shark attack. Heart attack. Buying hash from an undercover cop. Incarcerated. Bad acid trip in a strange place.
Well, who hasn't been there?
I want to meet the motherfucker that made this list, because they've got some stories to tell.
Yeah.
Times Square. Spiritual melees. Boils. Locusts. Okay, we moved into the Bible now. Hail and firestorms.
What the fuck?
What, hail and firestorms?
Yes.
Followed by broken Kindle.
What?
Forget to turn off data roaming? Oh, I love this one. You forgot to turn off the stove. Relax, you didn't.
Yeah.
Missed reservation at Noma. What's Noma?
It's a super fancy restaurant that is hard to get into.
Okay. Apocalyptic fight with spouse. I actually might read this one. The stresses of travel can sometimes bring out the worst of relationships, says Don Cole of Couples Therapist from the Center for blah, 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 blah. We find ourselves outside of our normal routine dealing with situations that are almost by definition stressful. Cole recommends a 5-step plan for fighting when fighting escalates to fever pitch. Let's see. First, decide on a word that means we need to take a break. Then say it. Secondly, stop all action and conversation. Thirdly, take a 30-minute break. If you're traveling and can't physically break away, take a middle break. Cole recommends meditation, prayer, relaxation, listening to music. Fourth, re-engage. Have a conversation about what happened, and if this can't be done calmly, make a plan to have talk about the issue later. It is important that a couple see a ritual such as this as a healthy alternative to escalation rather than signs of weakness in the relationship. Well, you know, I've been with my wife for over 15 and a half years now, and we've had God knows our share of knockdown drag-out fights. Not actually fist fights, but God, we can belt one out at each other. You know, and we've hit this point in our relationship, no matter how bad the frickin' argument gets, we know we love each other, and we know we'll be okay later as soon as we calm our asses down. We've hit that point. Even so, some these altercations get psychotic in nature.
Yeah.
We just know that we're going to be there for each other on the other side. Oh, here's one for you, dude. What to do, 29, the apocalypse.
I saw that.
Let's see. Shampoo exploded in bag. Kidnap. Kids won't nap. Cute. Embarrassing tan lines. Embarrassing rental units. Shoddy Airbnb. Okay, hold on. Underwear on the armchair, filth on the floor, dirty sheets, broken chair. Let's see. No
Instagram?
No Instagram. It's probably a good thing. As
recent, No Tinder.
Go to a bar. Talk to somebody. Who knows? It might work out. Death. Oh, death was the last one on the list.
Wow.
Some of these were just amazing. So I'm pretty much done with that.
Yeah. That's what happens when we don't plot out the show.
Yeah, well, it happens. It makes for an interesting show. So I think they had 21 minutes on the other one and about 14 and a half minutes on that. So that gives us a 30.
I got a couple of things.
Yeah, go for it. We got time.
One, let's talk about a couple different categories we're talking about. Talk about safety protection while traveling.
Condoms and stuff.
Obviously, if you're on a plane, if you're a concealed carry permit holder, you can't just carry your gun onto the plane.
Yeah.
You will be tackled and butt probed. Not a good day for you.
Actually, my buddy Todd, he managed to carry a weapon onto a plane one time. Of course, then again, it was funny. They booked a commercial flight for his whole squadron, platoon or whatever. Yeah. So he said it was the funniest thing in his life when he got to, when at the beginning of the flight, they're like, make sure all seat belts are on, food trays are in the full upright position, and please make sure that the safeties are on all automatic and non-automatic weapons.
Yeah.
He's like, I could die a happy man right now. Which is not a thing to say at the beginning of a flight.
No.
But everybody got to carry on their machine guns. It was awesome.
That's awesome. And the rules are always changing, but there are tricks and tips when you're flying to carry a weapon. I don't know if it still exists, but I know one good thing to do for a while there was if you get a TSA approved lock, because they have TSA approved travel locks.
Okay.
And, a length of chain to chain your bags with, you basically have a little bludgeon.
Huh.
Yeah, with all TSA-approved weapons there. Certain, little survival pin knives and stuff you can do. Keychain coubatons, not so much. If you put a TSA lock on your keys and carry your keys in your pocket, you kind of bludgeon someone with that.
Yeah.
You coming down, Skyler?
Oh, hell, I didn't even know he was in here.
Yeah, he was taking a nap.
Ah.
You can come and go, but don't sit above us and poot on our heads. When you're in your car traveling, like road trip, like Mike and I do, sometimes you can carry your firearm. This is where you really want to do your research and see where, for reciprocity, where your permit is honored at,
yeah,
where it's not honored at, and where you can drive. Like one time I was driving to, St. Louis for ZombieCon 2013 or something or whatever, with the zombie hunters, zombie squad.
Right.
And, there was going to be a range day where we would go shooting. So of course, when you get a bunch of survivors together, they're going to want to shoot and they're going to want to show off. So I took, several of my guns. I took my Glock and I took my, AR-15, my left-handed Stag AR-15.
Right.
Part of my drive to get to St. Louis required me to cut through a corner of Illinois.
Ouch.
I was scared like death. Illinois is not a very gun-friendly state. I had an AR-15 in the backseat of my car.
Boy, Gavalt.
So if you can avoid going through places like that, it would be good. I know I heard of a news article where the guy that was moving and had to drive through New Jersey. He had his gun properly stored in the trunk of his car. He got slapped with a felony when he got pulled over for a routine stop.
With a fucking felony?
Unloaded, locked in a case with a trigger lock on it. Slapped with a felony. So yeah, ridiculous. I hope he beat that, cause that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
If your permit is honored in the city you're going to, then you know you have protection there. If not, then you have to look for sort of secondary options. Pepper spray, keychain coupons, TSA lock on a chain, whatever you need to do. to stay safe there. And, you know, and
what if his gun had been completely disassembled and put in several different things, though?
Dude, fucking New Jersey probably would have still hit him. Fuck New Jersey. You know, and like I said, look at your route, too. Like, if part of your route's going to take you through a very notoriously known bad area, see if you can ride around it.
Yeah.
There's just no point in taking that risk, you know, if your car breaks down and you're stuck there, you're kind of fucked. So
yeah. And I have been in a car broken down in the wrong area before.
Yeah.
Not fun.
So kind of going through the survival needs there. Let's go to sort of energy fire. Mike already talked about it. Carry multiple ways to start fire. I like to carry it on my keychain. Mm-hmm. You can carry a little, Fresnel lenses. I'm saying it right now, guys. Instead of my preferred Frenzel lens. Uh-huh. You can carry a Fresnel lens in your wallet to start fire with.
Yep.
As long as there's sun, you get unlimited ability to make fire. So that would be two ways. For a while, I carried an Exotec fire starter on my keychain as well. You know, it fell apart, so
keep junk. Talking. I'll be right back. I just remembered something.
Okay. Did I get unplugged here? Anyway, so that's another way. Under the sort of fire energy category, I like to keep ways to charge my phone, which is a way to communicate. Backup battery, you know, like a little, like one of those backup charger packs. Those are good. I really got my eye on like, one of the cases that had a battery built into it. So those are good. What else do we got? Jump packs, give or take, they're kind of be good. If you build like a car battery backup system, truck battery backup system, those are even better. Fucking just in your car. What do you got there?
I have got a goodie bag. The pharmacy that I work at used to have a retail.
Drugs!
Yeah, they used to have a store. You know, basically, it was an open door pharmacy, and now it's a closed door pharmacy.
Yeah.
We don't have anything retail in there except like a Coke machine for patients waiting for the prescriptions.
Ah.
But they were giving away some stuff that's very expired. And let me see. Look at that.
Fiber?
Yeah, fiber. Let me see. Hold on. There was like a couple of bottles in here specifically that I grabbed.
Next, talk about food. Yeah, carry, you know, carry like a Cliff Bar, carry a Laura Bar, carry Kempfer Ice.
Yeah, that's right.
Carry a snack to avoid that being hangry. Sometimes I would obviously carry water and then like some rehydrated Mountain Meals and cook those in there.
Okay. Now, I got a couple of things here that I wanted to get your opinion on. And we might as well do it on here. What is sweet oil? It says olive oil emollient.
Don't know.
Not a clue?
Nope.
Okay.
I assume it's, nope, no idea. You have to Google that one.
Alrighty. And then I got that.
Iodine.
Yeah.
This is great, iodine. This is...
It actually has a skull and crossbones on it.
It does. See what percentage of iodine it is. 2% iodine. So that's tincture of iodine. 2% iodine is exactly the kind of iodine you want to get for water purification. I can't recall the drop ratio off the top of my head. It's something like a tiny amount, like one or two drops per 32 ounces of water will purify it, shaking it, and give it a few minutes to do its job.
And apparently it's also a first aid antiseptic.
Yes, it does that as well.
It says for external use only on that.
Yeah, 2% is the one you want to get, not the more diluted stuff for water purification.
And this is the other one. This also has a skull and crossbones on it.
Camphor spirit. Hold on. I'm pretty sure I've heard camphor is good for like sprains, strains, muscle aches.
It's 84% alcohol.
It's good for getting drunk too.
No, I wouldn't recommend drinking that.
No. Directions. Holy shit, this is for internal use. Directions. Dilute 3 parts olive oil and mix. No, it's... Yeah. Warnings. Use. Do not apply. Camphor oil. I'm almost positive it's for, like, sprains, muscle aches. That sort of a shite.
But hell, I'm just looking at it for the 84% alcohol content. This could be good for fire starting.
That could be good just for what it is.
Dilute 3 parts olive oil and mix well.
Let's look on WebMD. It'll say it's good for giving you tumors or something. WebMD is always like, got a headache? Probably a brain tumor. Camphor used to be made by distilling bark and wood of the camphor tree. Today, camphor is chemically manufactured from turpentine oil. It is used in products such as Vicks Vapor Rub. Camphor products can be rubbed on the skin topically, applied or inhaled to be, should I read the label? People use camphor typically to relieve pain and reduce itching. It has been used to treat fungal infections, toenails, warts, cold sores, hemorrhoids, and osteoarthritis. Camphor is typically used to increase local blood flow and as a counter irritant, which reduces pain, swelling, and causes irritation. I was right. Good for sprained ankles and other stuff. You want to look up sweet oil?
Yeah, let's look up sweet oil while we're at it, because this one confused the hell out of both of us. For external use to soften and smooth tissues, a pure and natural emollient, helpful in keeping rough, raw elbows, knees, heels, and hands soft and smooth.
There's a WebMD one. Oleum a la, otherwise known as sweet oil, is something you'll find in kitchen cupboards in most houses. U.S. sweet oil has many cooking applications, roasting, no. I'm looking for medically. Skin moisturizer. Snoring. Sweet oil can be used as a natural remedy for those who can't sleep at night because of their or their loved ones snoring. Take a drink of water that has 1 tablespoon of sweet oil in it and swig of blah, blah, blah. Furniture polish, nails, shaving cream, hair mask, skin soother. Let's look at WebMD. Live Strong as poop nuggets.
What actually is it? Ingredients. It's literally just olive oil.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the... okay, $1.49 for this much olive oil.
Oh. Wow.
That's funny. And like, ingredient. Doesn't say ingredients, ingredient, olive oil. That's funny. So never mind. We know what olive oil is good for.
Yeah. Anyway. You know, this may not be the greatest episode ever, but you get to hear our super sexy swinging sounds and whatever.
We're going to get sued by White Zombie.
Yeah. Super sexy swinging sounds. Ugh. I'm getting hungry.
So I've been hungry.
Can you think of anything else travel related?
No, just, I mean, pack as much stuff in your car as you can for, like, pack extra oil, extra oil, all the fluids. Most of them come in little things, you know, because you never know when you need to do that. You know, any other small car parts that can fit in a relatively small area that are easy to change.
Yeah.
I mean, some people that drive vans, it's funny, van engines, I've seen a fucker, like, change out, like, really easy, like, his starter and other things like that on the side of the road with virtually no tools on some vans, because you open the hood on the van and everything's just, like, right there. They designed the engines for easy access on those.
The Koreans that made my car made it pretty damned easy to work on. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I always recommend... I always recommend looking under the hood of a car when you look at it. You want to look for easy access. You don't want a fucking engine that's going to require specialty parts that you have to order offline, and you can only get your keys custom fucking sent to you from the fucking...
It gets harder and harder to do that, though. Yeah. But that's...
I think my next... Oh, God, I really want... I've got to the point where I want a diesel-powered, like, church van.
I like a diesel vehicle.
I want a vehicle that could fit a lot of people in it or a lot of stuff and has a diesel engine, because diesel just gets so much, you get more bang for your buck with a diesel.
I really want to make a bug out vehicle, and that's going to be on the agenda. Like, one of my projects, the next episode we're going to do is on, summer projects, and that'll be a fun one to do.
Oh yeah, that'll be excellent.
I've already plotted it out and it's ready to go. So whenever we get a chance, to knock that out.
See, this episode is a fine example of what happens when your software hates you and when your co-host decides he thinks he can do the show.
We didn't really do a lot of research for this episode. We sort of spitballed it. We had fun. We hope you guys had fun getting another episode out. And yeah. That's what's important.
And I'm on this one, so yay.
Yeah, and he will be on the next one.
You're damn right
I'm going to. I literally had to go knock on his door to get him up and be like, so you want a podcast? So yeah.
All right, so for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett.
And remember, when traveling, don't do it wrong.
DIY to not flip over and blow up and die, you guys.
Use guys.